We've been looking at being able to be Ahlul Jannah, in other words, those who have strived to reach their full potential, in essence what Allah wishes us to be. And we focused on Ayah 201 of Surah Al-Baqarah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا عَاتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. And there are some amongst them who say, Our Rabb, grant us good in this world and good in the hereafter, and save us from the punishment of the fire. We've ascertained that Ahlul Jannah are multi-intelligent human beings who communicate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Qur'an is Allah's discourse with creation, whilst our discourse with Him is through the medium of dua. And yesterday we looked at an introduction to this subject. Today I said I would look at a step-by-step guide in being able to do, or rather to look at the etiquettes of dua properly by being able to unify the inner and the outer. If you remember, Imam Ja'far Sadiq alayhi salam has said that it was very important to know your niyyah, to know what your intention was as opposed to what you were beseeching for. Well, Dua Makarim al-Akhlaq is a dua by Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam, found in Sayyifat al-Sajjadiyah. It is dua number 20. And the first thing Imam stresses is intention. The dua starts where he says, وَبَلِّغْ بِإِيمَانِي أَكْمَلَ الْإِيمَانِ, cause my faith to reach the most perfect of faiths. وَاجْعَلْ يَكِينِي أَفْضَلَ الْيَكِينِ, and my certainty the best of certainties, or the most excellent of certainties. وَانْتَحِي بِنِيَّتِي إِلَىٰ أَحْسَنِ النِّيَّاتِ, and my intentions to be the best of intentions. Imam says, Allahumma waffir bilutfika niyati, complete my intention through your lutf, through your inspiration, through your gentleness. Make me understand my intention. So the first thing we've got to look at is intention. Do I know what I want? Am I absolutely sure? Have I thought about it? Have I looked whether it matches this dua, Rabbana atina fi dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ, is what I'm asking for not only good in this world but good in the akhirah, and does it save me from agitation here and the fire later on? Then we see the Imam talks about certainty, which I've talked about yesterday. Got to be absolutely certain, because in the dua Imam alayhi salam says, وَصَحِبْ إِمَا عِنْدَكَ يَكِينِي, rectify my certainty through what is with you. So being absolutely sure that you know that you do your best, hand it over to Him and the dua will be answered. The third thing, set right what is corrupt within the inner. Because as Imam says, he says, وَاسْتَحْصْلِحْ بِقُدْرَتِكَ مَا فَسَدَ مِنِّي, set right what is corrupt in me through your power. And what is this corruption? If there is three things the Prophet ﷺ said will never get us anywhere. One is jealousy, the second is greed, and the third thing is lying. To be honest to oneself, to get rid of greed which is in us, and to get rid of jealousy. Because if we're asking on that basis, then obviously we're not asking for the right things or for the right intentions. The fourth thing Imam says is let go of distractive concerns. Anything that is distracting you, because you cannot melt your heart or be totally committed to something if there are distractions. In the dua, Imam says, وَقْفِنِي مَا يَشْغَلُنِي الْإِهْتِمَامُ بِهِ, spare me the concerns which distract me. وَاسْتَعْمِلْنِي بِمَا تَسْأَلُنِي غَدًا عَنْهُ, make me use, or rather make me work in that which you will ask me tomorrow. And that goes to the next stage, which is focusing on the future. You can only use the past as a lesson. Take a lesson from it, make sure you do not repeat your mistakes, and move ahead. The past is not there to dwell upon so that we completely annihilate the future with it. If I live in self-pity, if I live in the past, I'm not going to get anywhere at all. Always keep in mind while asking the dua the purpose of life, the attaining of your full potential, what Allah wishes you and me to be. The attainment of Jannah, not only in the Akhirah, but Jannah on earth as well. And then as we look at the dua, it tells us to be able to unify the inner and the outer, you've got to remove negative traits. And these negative traits are of unthankfulness, of pride, of self-admiration, and doing something so that others may feel obliged. Look how Imam puts it, for example. He says, وَلَا تَفْتِنِّي بِالْبَطَرِ وَعِزَّنِي وَلَا تَبْتَلِيَنِّي بِالْقِبْرِ وَعَبِّدْنِي لَكَ وَلَا تُفْسِدْ عِبَادَتِي بِالْعُجْبِ. He says, free me from the need, tempt me not with ingratitude, don't afflict me with pride, make me worship you, do not corrupt my worship with self-admiration. Then he says, وَعَجْرِ لِلنَّاسِ عَلَىٰ يَدِيَ الْخَيْرِ وَلَا تَمْحَقْهُ بِالْمَنِ. Let good flow out of my hands upon people and don't rub it out by making them feel obliged. The dua continues, replace my hatred with love, envy with affection, suspicion with trust, enmity with friendship, disrespect of family with devotion, abandonment of relatives with help, fear with security. So we're looking at each of the traits in us, because without changing those, there is no way that we will be able to connect the inner with the outer and make our du'as more effective. We've got to adopt good traits within us, such as restraining anger, covering faults, humbleness, disciplined words, being accountable, being patient. And these are all part of this du'a, and they show up so beautifully. To know that we've got to lean on Him and Him alone. And finally, maybe something that we've got to start off with, I say it at the end, but maybe I should have said it at the beginning, asking for the acceptance of Tawbah and the eraser of our sins. There is a wonderful sentence in this du'a which says, Allahumma khtim bi afwika ajli. If you don't remember anything of this du'a, this is probably one of the best sentences of this du'a. Allahumma akhtim, O Allah, complete my term on this earth with your pardon. And af is rubbing out so that there's no trace of that sin left. Just like footprints in the sand, and then when the sea comes in and washes over them, there is no trace of the footprints that were made. See, because when asked about that which causes non-acceptance of du'a, Imam Ali alayhi salam has said, the sins which cause the non-acceptance of du'a are evil intentions, evil thoughts, hypocrisy with mu'mineen, disbelieving that du'a will be answered, delaying salah till the time has passed, abandoning nearness of Allah through kindness and sadaqah, and abusing and using obscene language in conversation. In the Abu Hamza al-Thimali, which we looked at in the month of Ramadan, which is again taught by Imam Ali Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, there are various reasons Imam gives in the dua why there is a measure or limit in our duas, even if our nafs yearns to rise to talk to him. For example, an extract for the dua, Imam says, O Lord, whenever I thought I was prepared and ready and rose to pray before your hands and confided to you, you cast sleep on me when I prayed, and you prevented me from confiding to you when I wanted to. Maybe you observed my disregard of your right on me and thus distanced me. Maybe you saw me headed away from your path and so you withdrew me. Or maybe you found me to be in the position of liars, so you rejected me. Maybe you saw that I was not grateful for your rewards, so you deprived me. Or maybe you observed my absence from the assembly of scholars and therefore you put me down. Maybe you found me to be one of the unheeding, or maybe you found me frequenting the assembly of the unfaithful, so between me and them you deserted me, or maybe you equated me with my crime and sin. So very important to understand the aspect of Tawbah. And so for a little while today, let's look at this aspect. We've done this before, but repetition is always beneficial. Innaf'at al-dhikra, Quran says, In Surah Al-Tahrim, Ayah 8, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا تُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ تَوْبَةً نَسُوحًا أَصَى رَبُّكُمْ أَنْ يُكَفِّرَ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ وَيُدْخِلَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ. O you who believe, turn to Allah with a sincere turning. Maybe your Rabb, through that, will cover up your sins, وَيُدْخِلَكُمْ, and enter you into Jannah, under which flows streams. Now, what is Tawbah? Tawbah in essence is a U-turn, literally turning round from what we were doing completely in the opposite direction. In a nutshell, therefore, Tawbah is acknowledging the fact that we've done wrong, accepting the responsibility of their consequences, doing our best to be able to rectify the consequences, and then turning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making a firm affirmation that we will not go back to what we have done. And that is a tawbah in a nutshell. But I'd like to tell a story or an anecdote which may help to understand the beauty of the acceptance of tawbah. There was a young man at the time of Prophet Musa alayhi salam who was running havoc in the town with his permissiveness, his wrong, and he was really being very sinful, inviting others towards what he was doing too. With the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Prophet Musa advises the town people to send him out of town. And that really got at him, it really hit him. He cried, he wept, and it is said that when he wept, even the animals who were around him in the desert wept with him. Death was drawing near. He was just crying, and he does a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, Ilahi, in kana walidi ala ra'asi, faghassalani wa kafani. He says, if my dad was here, then he would give me ghusl and kafan. Ilahi in kana walidati li rahmati wa baqat ala zallati. If my mom was here, she would have rahma on my state and she would cry on my zillat, which is on my abasement. Ilahi in kana zawji wa awladi hadiran indi la ad'uka allahumma arham ala walidain al gharib al miskin al fakir. My wife and my children were present here, they would call out to you and say, oh my Allah, have rahmah on our father who is gharib, who is away from his home, who is a miskin and who is a fakir. Ilahi, oh my God, in faraqta bayni min walidi wa walidati wa zawjati wa awladi. Tufarrik min rahmatik. Although you have separated me from my dad and my mom and my wife and my children, don't separate me from your rahmah. Ilahi taraktu qalbi li firqati la tuharrik binarika ya Rab. My heart is burning with their separation, but don't burn me with your fire. And it is reported that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent angels as his family representation and to send salams on him. And Malikul Maut comes up to him and says, your Rabb asks, do you want to go to your home or do you want to come home? I'll repeat that again. Do you want to go home or do you want to come home? And he says, I want to go to my Kareem Rabb. This is how forgiveness and tawbah is achieved, by being able to understand first, to acknowledge the consequences of our actions, to try and rectify them, to be in munajat with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then to go forward from there. And finally, the last thing is to ensure in all our du'as, and I started off with this, that we ask for good in this world and good in the akhirah.